back in June, and just really gracious for the support of your church, and Pastor Nate and Amy have become great friends. Become such a great friend. I don't know if he can do the math, but $1,000 divided by 20, that's a lot of pies in the face, isn't it? You guys, after tonight, you're going to have to give him some like spa facial treatment next week to recover. So, but we really are grateful for your support in the community for lots of years, and even as a partner with Michiana Family Center the past couple of years, really. And so I just want to start by saying thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning. And last time when I was here, I spent the entire time pretty much just letting you know about Michiana Family Center, who we are, what we do, how you can partner with us. And I know some of you were here then, some of you weren't. So my first 4 to 5 minutes, I'm just going to do an abbreviated version of what Michiana Family Center is. And then after that, we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about the scripture that we read from Lamentations chapter 3. Sound good? All right. So here we go. Here is Michiana Family Center. You may or may not know this, but currently in the Michiana area, which we loosely define as Cass County, Berrien County, St. Joseph counties in Michigan, and then Elkhart and St. Joseph counties in Indiana, there's roughly around 1,300 children in foster care right now in Michiana. Now, this does not count adoptive children, and this does not also count kinship children, which maybe are not technically in the foster care system, but might be placed with a relative, like a grandma or a grandpa or great-grandparents or aunt and uncle or sometimes an older sibling. So 1,300 is kind of the low number of children kind of in these displaced situations. So that's what's going on right around us in our local Michiana community. And unfortunately, the studies have shown for these children that historically speaking, the future isn't great according to the statistics. That's a tough word there. So these children who grew up in foster care, only about 50% of them will graduate from high school, and only about 3% of them will go on to graduate from college. And unfortunately, a majority of our prison population and a majority of our homeless population spent time in foster care. So the studies that have gone back, looked in the past, doesn't look like a bright future, does it? And then you look at the foster parents, the families, those who sign up to help to do this amazing, great work. About half of them within the first year, they quit because it was really hard and they felt like they didn't have the support system that they needed. So every time a family signs up and says yes and brings a child into their home, and then says, you know what, I can't do it, well, then that child has to move again. And it's this ongoing cycle of trauma. So we have children who are really struggling. We have parents who are really struggling. And so we as Michiana Family Center, we want to step into this this messy situation and say, how can we partner with these amazing people? How can we partner with these amazing children and offer support? And so we offer three programs to support and partner with these families. The first one we call Michiana Mentors. And our mentor program, what that does is we recruit a volunteer, we train a volunteer to be a mentor, an adult volunteer, and then we match this adult volunteer, this mentor, with a student who's in middle school or high school who is in the foster care system or has experienced adoption. And this mentor becomes another trusted adult voice in the life of this young person. And they're their cheerleader. And they're reiterating what they hear from their family and saying, you know what, you are amazing and you have amazing gifts and amazing strengths and you can make good choices and you can make right decisions and you can make it with whatever's next, the next step in your life. And they're there just to cheer them along. I know for me, for my kids, I love having other adult voices in their lives, whether it's a teacher at the school or a coach on their sports team or a church leader or a youth group leader, because we know that it takes a team of people to help our kids. So that's what this mentor program does. It adds another adult to these young people's lives. Then we have the care team. And what this does is it gets a group of adult volunteers and it matches them with one foster or adoptive family. And they build a relationship with this family and they say, what does support look like to you? Because remember, foster parents are overwhelmed, they're discouraged, it's hard work, maybe they feel like quitting. And this group of people show up for this family and say, hey, what does support look like for you? And then they try to meet those needs. It could be help with transportation. It could be help with childcare or resources or furniture or diapers or clothes. You know, the sky's the limit, but this care team shows up for this family and says, hey, you can do this. We know it's hard, but we want to help you keep doing what you're doing. And then we have support groups. We have several different support groups that meet throughout the Michiana area on a regular basis, and these are for the foster adoptive parents, where they show up and we laugh together, we cry together, and we offer training and resources for them to support the parents. So this Michiana Family Center model impacts the entire family. For the young student, we have mentorship. For the entire family, we have the care team. And then focused on the parents, we have the support groups. So we get calls all the time. People reach out to us. I was thinking of just one that happened maybe 2 weeks ago, of a grandma who is caring for her 7-year-old grandson. So have you seen a 7-year-old lately? Lots of energy. Lots of energy. So think of a grandma who, no offense, but I mean, we were joking about the ornery row, right? And she said, we're ornery based on our age, you know. So not saying anyone's young or old or anything like that, but think of a grandma and how much energy she may or may not have. And think of this 7-year-old boy and how much energy he does have. And the grandma reached out to us and says, I need some help. I need to get him out of the house and get him some fun activities, burn off some energy. I need an hour break here or 2-hour break here so that I can keep caring for my grandson. So they reached out to us after actually reaching out to some other organizations and not getting help. They reached out to us. So we showed up in that situation. And then our long-term goal is the people around where this grandma lives, the churches, the businesses, the volunteers, we help her create a support system in her local community so she can faithfully care for this grandson for the next, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years. And so that's kind of just a little picture of what we do. So before I transition into Lamentations 3, we do have a table in Reese Hall where there's more information about our organization. If you'd like to talk, have a conversation, you'd like to sign up for our email newsletter, we'll be there in between services. All right? So you got it? That's Michiana Family Center. Now, maybe you can put up the slide that says Hope in the Lord, because that is the title of our message this morning. It comes from Lamentations chapter 3. And talked with Pastor Nate maybe a month or two ago about speaking this Sunday morning. And so I've been thinking and praying about what does God want me to share with you today. And Lamentations 3, was reading through it a few weeks ago, and it just jumped out, and it really was encouraging me through a tough time in my life. And I thought maybe there's a word for all of us today, an encouraging word from God. And that's what we're going to talk about, that there is hope in the Lord. So big picture, the book of Lamentations. It's a small book in the Bible, just 5 chapters, written by a guy named Jeremiah. He was an Old Testament prophet, and his nickname is called the Weeping Prophet. Now, wouldn't you love to be known about, I'm the guy that just goes around crying all the time. I mean, that was this guy. And Lamentations, it's a book of lament, of weeping, of sorrow, of grief, because Jeremiah is sitting here in this situation in his home country, in his hometown of Jerusalem, and it has been destroyed. Because of Israel's disobedience to God, God has allowed the Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar and his army, to come into Jerusalem. They've destroyed the walls. They've burnt the temple. People have died. Homes have been destroyed. People have been taken into captivity. And Jeremiah is sitting in the middle of this. And any of us sitting in the middle of this moment, we would be lamenting. We would be weeping. And that's what Lamentations is. Actually, 5 poems. Each poem is a chapter. And it's just these poems of sorrow and grief, of lamenting, culminating in 586 BC when Jerusalem was kind of destroyed and the people were taken away into captivity. I was trying to think of a moment kind of in my life, remembering back when I was alive in American history, of this moment of collective nationwide grief. And, you know, if you're my age or older, you definitely remember September 11th, 2001, right? My kids don't remember that. They just remember of hearing about it through us. But we can remember where we were, the emotions we felt. We can remember everything around, you know, that moment. For my dad, he can remember the assassination of JFK. He remembers where he was and stuff like that. But for me, it's September 11th. I remember I was in college. We went into this chapel group assembly. We didn't have the smartphones, so we didn't have the news. We were barely even texting at that point. So you just didn't know what was going on. And we go into chapel, and one of the presidents or something stands up and tells us what happened. And we are just in disbelief. Like, we couldn't believe what had happened. Then I remember we'd all huddle around the TVs because we weren't watching TV on our phone yet either. And we were watching. I remember the emotions you felt and seeing grown people on the floor just weeping as they watched the news footage of 9/11. And that's just a small reflection of what Jeremiah was feeling when it wasn't just one part of his country. It was his entire country. Everything he knew was gone. Maybe family was dead. Friends were dead. And it's just this intense moment of grief and sorrow. So can you kind of feel it just a little bit of his despair and his hopelessness? And then right in the middle of this book, right smack dab in the middle, is Lamentations 3, 20 to 25. So if you want to put those verses back up there. And I just want to talk through these verses a little bit and see what hope and encouragement we can get from them this morning. And so he starts and he says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. You think Jeremiah could ever forget what he saw? No. I mean, it was real, the smells and the sounds, like it was there. He saw it with his own eyes, and he says, this is true. I will never forget this. And honestly, when I read Lamentations 3, I've probably read this dozens of times throughout my life. When I read it a few weeks ago, like personally, I was going through a time of sadness and grief where we had to make some really hard decisions. And you know what? I'm never going to forget this time. And I wonder about you, maybe in long ago past or recent past, or maybe right now, you're going through a time of grief or sadness or hard, and you can't just like not think about it and it goes away, right? Like it's there, it's real, it's true, and all of us have moments in our lives because we live in this fallen, sinful, messed up world sometimes where bad stuff happens and we never forget it, right? So that is true. We can't pretend grief isn't there. It's there. So that is true. He starts with saying, hey, this is a terrible, awful time. I'm never going to forget this. But then he says what? Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. So Lamentations chapter 1, Lamentations chapter 2, almost all of Lamentations 3 has been grief, 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 sadness, sadness, sadness. And for the first time, we hear this word hope. And it's almost like I dare to hope. Am I allowed to hope? Can I maybe just, is there a little bit of hope here? And he's saying, hey, even though grief and sorrow and sadness is true, I can't forget about it. Maybe there's something else that's also true. And there's hope. And he says, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. What's the basis of his hope? Because the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. God's love never runs out. This love is God's mercy. If you see in the Old Testament, it talks about, there's a lot of verses in Psalms that says, the mercy of the Lord endures forever. That's God's covenant, unfailing love with his people that never runs out. He says, by his mercies, we have been kept from complete destruction. So he's like, I'm still alive. There's some people that are still alive. Maybe there's some buildings that haven't been destroyed. And if you know the story of the history of Israel, a lot of them are taken into captivity. They're taken to Babylon and then later the Persian Empire for 70 years. And then after those 70 years, God allows a small group, what is called a remnant, to come back to Jerusalem, and they rebuild the walls and they rebuild the temple. So Jeremiah is seeing some of this, and maybe God has shown him some of the future, and he says, we have been kept from complete destruction. There's still hope of a remnant. There's still hope of restoration. And then he says, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh, or his mercies are new every day. God's mercies, his love, his compassion for us, it's almost like we get a fresh dose of it every morning. They're new every day. A couple weeks ago, I was talking with a foster dad, and they had opened their home to a couple boys, and it was hard. There was a lot of trauma and behavior stuff, and it was really, really hard. And he kind of jokingly texted me and said, how long before this gets easier? Or how long before this gets better? And the answer I gave him, I didn't say, in 1 week, everything's going to be great. Or in 3 years, I didn't. I said, I don't know how long, but here's what I do know. I do know that God is going to give you what you need for today. And then tomorrow, he's going to give you what you need for tomorrow. And he was like, thanks a lot, you know? But it's true, right? Like God gives us what we need for today or the next hour or sometimes the next minute or the next breath, God's mercies are new every day. Here's the one Bible trivia quiz for you. You can shout out the answer if you know, okay? Go back in Israel's history between God rescuing them from Egypt and into the promised land, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And every morning when they would wake up, there was something on the ground. What was it? Manna. It was their food. It was their bread. And they were supposed to get how much? Enough for the week? No. For that day. The only difference was on the day before the Sabbath, they would get enough for 2 days. But every day, they got enough for that day. And if you got too much for the second day, when you woke up the next morning, it was rotten. And it was almost God was setting this rhythm as like, hey, every morning, I'm here for you. Wake up, gather the food, the physical food that you need for today. It'll get you through today. And I'm going to do it again for you tomorrow and the next day. I think he does it for us physically, spiritually, emotionally. He says, hey, I'll give you what you need for today. Jeremiah goes on, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. Jeremiah knew that a money inheritance wasn't going to satisfy him, or the retirement funds, or the inheritance from his rich aunt. He knew that wasn't going to satisfy him. He knew the only thing that could satisfy him was his inheritance, the portion that he had with the Lord. So both of these things are true. Grief, that's true, isn't it? But is it also true that there's hope and that God loves us and he's faithful and his mercies are new every day? Yes, all of that is true. I came across a story recently about the Cape of Good Hope. Have you heard of the Cape of Good Hope? It's in Africa, Southern Africa. And it's called the Cape of Good Hope because years ago, I think it was in the 1400s or so, the sailors, the trade ships from Europe to Asia, they would be sailing south down the western coast of Africa, I believe. And the point where they stopped sailing south and started sailing east toward Asia was called the Cape of Good Hope because the direction of their travel changed. And it was like, all right, we're on the home stretch. There's hope. We're not going south anymore. We're going east. But do you know it wasn't always called the Cape of Good Hope? It used to be called the Cape of Storms. The Cape of Storms. Why do you think it was called the Cape of Storms? Because it was stormy and dangerous, and there were shipwrecks. So which one is true? Is it the Cape of Storms, or is it the Cape of Good Hope? They're both true, right? Like, it is stormy and dangerous, especially with the ships that were made in the 1400s, right? It is stormy and it's dangerous, but also it is the Cape of Good Hope because there's progress and there's change of direction and there's hope of this preferred future. So I think that's what Lamentations is all about, or one of the main things it's about, is that there can be terrible, terrible times in our lives where it feels like, where is God? How did God let this happen? And there's grief and sorrow and loss, and it's part of who we are. But it's also true that there's hope, that there's the love of God, that he promises to never leave us or forsake us. And I was also thinking about a hymn that I grew up singing. I grew up singing Stand Up for Jesus as a kid. I remember that. But we also grew up singing a hymn called Great is Thy Faithfulness. Yeah? And I think it's probably based out of this Lamentations 3, where great is your faithfulness. So I just want to read a couple words from this hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. So the writer of Great is Thy Faithfulness, hey, every morning I see God again. Every morning I see his new mercies. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And the last verse of this song says, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. So I can't stand up here and tell you that your sorrow, your grief, your sadness is going to go away. I can't. It might get a little easier tomorrow. I don't know. It might not. Or I hate to tell you, there might be another grief or sorrow or sadness coming later on down the line. But I can tell you this. I can tell you God is with you every single day. I can tell you God loves you more than you love your spouse, more than you love your kids, more than you love your grandkids. God loves you more than the love that you have for them or they have for you. And that he gives us what we need every single day. So before I pray, I want to read these verses again. You can follow along if you want to look at the screen or close your eyes, whatever you want to do. I want you to think of these two things that are happening. This grief that you feel that you're never going to forget. But also in the midst of that, something else that is true, or I don't know if something can be more true, but maybe a little stronger or truer or carries more weight is this hope that we have in the Lord. So hear both of those and allow God through the prophet Jeremiah thousands of years ago to speak into us in Little Edwardsburg in 2022, right? So listen as I read. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope when I remember this. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By his mercies, we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. Say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you love us more than we can imagine. Thank you for the gift of your son Jesus 2,000 years ago. And thank you for the gift of your love and your mercy and grace, your faithfulness that is new every day, new every moment. So thank you for that. I don't know what grief or sorrow or sadness or hard times have been experienced in this room, but I'm sure it's been a lot. So I pray that your presence will be very real to whoever needs it, that the truth of your word, the truth of your love would just be really real to us as we want to hope again, we want to believe again. And so just be what every person in this room this morning needs from you. And we're just grateful for a few minutes that you give us to be together, to maybe slow down a bit, to take a breath, and to say thank you for loving us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's join together now in a time of prayer. And if you can, please lift up the joys you have in your life, the people you wish to praise, as well as the people who need our prayers of healing, of encouragement, of the joy that God brings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your love is never-ending, is throughout our lives, engulfs us. All we need